This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome in to a Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson hanging out with you for the next hour. We got a baseball-heavy show coming your way. MLB trade deadline, of course, coming up tomorrow. We'll have our friend Paul Sporer talking all things deadline, giving out some of his favorite picks for a day-heavy Wednesday slate. We got a few games in action right now. We'll talk through some player props, some of our best bets in baseball for the late games. But Jeff, got a little football talk to lead things off before we get into a few minor trades and some score updates on what's going on so far in the world of baseball. We have an update on Trey Hendrickson, Jeff, and there's a reason that I am hosting the first segment, because I want to hear your analysis as a Cincinnati Bengals fan on what the development is here with Hendrickson. He was with the team at practice earlier today, now did not take part in practice, still out there in street clothes. You know, remains to be seen if Trey Hendrickson is going to be on the practice field at some point this week, or if this is more of a hold-in situation. But at the very least, Trey Hendrickson has rejoined the Cincinnati Bengals, and you would think that's a step in the right direction.
It is. It's a half a step in the right direction. He even said something to the effect that the contract situation remains the same. He's hoping that there's hope that they can make more progress. I get the sense that they may not be super far off, but it's definitely a hold in. He won't practice, and he shouldn't. You know, there's too much at risk. We've seen so many players get hurt already in practice on various teams, not necessarily the Bengals so far, but we've seen major injuries. We've seen it year after year, players get hurt. There's no contract leverage if you get hurt. So I don't blame him for that. Mm-hmm. They're working on a deal, but it's two things though. He stops getting fined. You know, it's the old Marshawn Lynch. I'm just here so I don't get fined. It's also, though, too, that, you know, it's a gesture of faith that he's there, that he is, you know, he's taking part in meetings. You know, he might walk through, or maybe he's just standing on the sideline. Maybe he talks to Shamar Stewart a little bit there, gives him pointers on the side. He may not be practicing, but he's there, so he's participating in some way, shape, or form. So it's progress. I don't think he's going to get a TJ Watt contract, but he's certainly going to get way more than he's getting right now.
Yeah, the guaranteed money in that deal seems to be the sticking point between the two sides. And of course, Trey Hendrickson would have started to incur significantly more fines if he did not report to the team prior to the start of the preseason. Bengals open the exhibition slate next Thursday at the Philadelphia Eagles. Do expect to see some Joe Burrow, by the way, during the preseason, something we haven't seen in years past. One more quick Bengals note. They did part ways with Zach Moss earlier today, Jeff. Somebody who, coming into last season, essentially opened the year as the co-starter alongside Chase Brown. So we'll see what kind of interest Zach Moss draws on the open market.
Yeah, he's got a neck injury. He's rehabbing. Hadn't been practicing yet. This is like an injury settlement situation. It suggests to me that he wasn't going to be ready to go anytime soon. I would think that he won't draw a whole lot of interest. It does show, though, that now that we had four running backs in camp, really, of note. You know, we have Chase Brown as the obvious starter. He's going to be the obvious starter. It's full speed ahead with him even before this happened. But they have rookie Taj Brooks out of Texas Tech. And then, of course, they have Samaje Perine, who's played a role on this Bengals team before. Big one. In fact, he caught a huge touchdown pass in the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs. Had another big game against the Chiefs the subsequent season. So, I don't expect a whole lot out of Perine, but he knows the system. He has the trust of the team. He probably will be your backup to start the season.
We got a relatively positive update, Jeff, out of Baltimore this morning on Isaiah Likely. You and I were live on the RotoWire Fantasy Football podcast yesterday afternoon talking tight ends, ironically. And we get the news that Isaiah Likely, essentially in the final minutes of Tuesday's practice, goes down with what initially looked like a fairly severe injury. You know, he's writhing around on the ground. The dreaded cart this time of year had to come out. He has since been diagnosed now with a, quote, small fracture in his foot. Should be back at some point early in the regular season. It is possible even that Isaiah Likely could be ready for week one. Ravens, of course, at the Bills on September 7th. Either way, I think we're looking at a 4 to 6 week timetable at the minimum. Jeff, certainly would not be surprised if he does sit out week one. You look at the early schedule for the Ravens. This is a really tough early slate, really tough schedule overall when you're playing in the AFC North. But at Buffalo week one, you get the Browns at home in week two, the Lions, the Chiefs, the Texans, and the Rams as your first six opponents. So your reaction to this timetable for Isaiah Likely, does it really change anything for you fantasy-wise?
It does. I'm actually moving Likely down a little bit. I was already going to take like Jake Ferguson ahead of Likely. I think you could see the Derrick Henry production numbers before and after Likely was more involved in the offense. And Henry was a lot more involved when they had Ricard on the field than when they had Likely. So I think he's already someone I would probably kind of avoid a little bit fantasy-wise. I think there's other tight ends in that range I like better. I like Ferguson better. I like Tucker Kraft better. I know you like Kraft better as well. So I think that's one thing. It does move him down to like maybe tight end 17 for me, which means I'm probably not going to get him. Mm-hmm. I don't view Isaiah Likely as a fantasy starter for us.
You can check out all of our player rankings, including our tight end rankings, our tight end tiers over at rotowire.com. And did you know that RotoWire is a brand new look this season and even better fantasy football draft tools for the 2025 season? Whether you're using the Draft Assistant to get real-time insights as you draft, customizing your own draft strategy with the Draft Plan Creator, or testing scenarios with our powerful draft simulator, RotoWire gives you everything you need to draft with confidence. And right now, VSiN followers get an exclusive offer. You can head to rotowire.com, enter the promo code VSiN, V-S-I-N, put that in at checkout. You'll get 15% off any RotoWire product. Just head over to rotowire.com, put in that promo code VSiN, V-S-I-N. All right, let's talk some baseball, Jeff. We got a day-heavy slate, a handful of games in action right now. We're in the bottom of the fifth out in Baltimore, 3-3 between the O's and the Jays. Jays lost both games with a doubleheader yesterday, trying to avoid losing a fifth game in a row overall. Diamondbacks, Tigers knotted up 1-1 in the bottom of the fourth. Red Sox have opened up a 2-1 lead on the Minnesota Twins. We're in the top of the fourth in Minneapolis in a rain delay in the top of the first between the Phillies and the White Sox. We'll see if that game gets in, Jeff. I can tell you it has been raining all day here in Milwaukee, which is not too far from Chicago, and is projected to rain for most of the day. So we might be on postponement watch there. That's some big news. A couple minor trades that we'll get to, but some big injury news last night in baseball, Jeff. Ronald Acuna heading to the IL with Achilles tightness, said he started to feel the pain back on Monday. It kind of fought to insert himself into the lineup last night, may have tweaked it again. And sounds like there's some concern that this could be longer term for this Braves team, Jeff, which I know you put this in months ago at plus money. Braves did not make the playoffs. Looking pretty good right now.
45-61. They're behind the Pirates now in the wild card race. Think about that. Let that settle in for a second there.
Yikes.
I mean, their entire starting rotation is on the IL. They just lost Grant Holmes, put him on the 60-day IL. They're about to trade their relievers. We'll see who else they trade away. Yeah, Operation Shutdown could be in effect here, unfortunately, for Acuna. There's zero reason to rush him back, and it's just a shame. You know, he's still hitting great this season. 1,006 OPS. I mean, hey, for a guy that's coming back from a major injury like that, 4 stolen bases. We knew that stolen bases would be down, but he does everything else. He had that throw last week that was amazing. He's been a warrior. He's been doing everything right since coming back. Got to be impressed with that, but there's no reason to push it anymore. Fantasy-wise, you got to think that you might be without him for the rest of the year. I wouldn't drop him in a redraft league, but I would trade him. And obviously, in a keeper league, you're holding him. It's a different situation, but be prepared to be without him.
Yeah, we did have a quote from Ronald Acuna last night. He said, quote, "It's an injury. I'm worried. It's more pain, but it feels kind of, I feel a lot like when I try to put pressure on it." Brian Snitker, the Braves manager, said it's going to take a while. So would not be surprised if we do see an extended absence or even a shutdown for Acuna with this looking like a lost season in Atlanta. Jeff, I wouldn't say the trade deadline fire hose has opened quite yet. Hopefully we get some more fireworks in the next 24 hours. But we did have an interesting trade go down earlier today. The Angels acquiring a pair of relievers from the Washington Nationals, bringing in Andrew Chafin and Luis Garcia. You know, on the show yesterday, we talked with Eric Halterman about some of those teams in the middle zone. You could see them selling. You could see them buying. Looks like the Angels are buying.
This is a baffling trade. I mean, it's a totally minor deal. I mean, they could be doing something. They could be buyers and sellers at the same time. It maybe give them some little depth in the bullpen. But both Chafin and Garcia were freely available. They were picked up off the waiver wire by the Nationals earlier this year. They got the fact that they got anything for these guys is just, that's great. It's gravy for them. The Dodgers released Garcia earlier this month, and the Angels, who are the Angels, by the way, they're not good. They're a middling team, are trading for these two veterans. Chafin was also freely available. Four games out of the wild card. I don't really understand. The pitcher they traded, Etter, I think might be better than the two that they traded for. He's less tested. I don't understand this. I don't know what the Angels are doing.
You know, Jeff, we had an interesting situation with Sir Anthony Dominguez yesterday, talking about that Blue Jays Orioles series. And by the way, the Jays now trailing 3-5. Jordan Westberg in the last 2 minutes has hit a home run to potentially make this a four-game sweep for the Baltimore Orioles. But Sir Anthony Dominguez was a member of the Baltimore Orioles for game one of the doubleheader. He's traded between games, ends up appearing in game two last night, now as a member of the Toronto Blue Jays. How much does this one move the needle for you?
It does, from the standpoint of who's at the back end of the Baltimore bullpen. You know, Felix Bautista is on the IL, and the news on Monday was said it's going to be an extended absence. There was inflammation in his shoulder, a lot of swelling. They've traded away now Gregory Soto. They've traded away Sir Anthony Dominguez. Andrew Kittredge is probably next in line. He could get dealt too, although the team has a pretty friendly option for next year, so I suspect he won't be. I think Kittredge is the one guy you want to get, but yesterday he didn't get the save. Instead, it was Corbin Martin that got the save, so they may prefer Kittredge in the eighth inning. There's still a lot of moving parts, but you know, it matters in terms of the Baltimore closer.
Talk some more baseball. Rate that prop for the late slate coming up next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on the sports betting network. Big day in Major League Baseball. We're going to play a game of Rate That Prop, taking a look at the afternoon and night slate in just a moment. But a few more games now in action. We'll give you some score updates. Brewers going for the three-game sweep at home against the Chicago Cubs. We're in the top of the first there, already 1-0 in favor of Chicago. First pitch of the game, Michael Busch takes Freddy Peralta deep. Peralta walked the next batter, so currently one on, one out for the Cubs, leading 1-0. O's still hanging on to that 5-3 lead over the Blue Jays. We are about to head to the top of the sixth there. 1-1 between the D-backs and the Tigers in the top of the fifth. End of the fourth between the Red Sox and the Twins, still 2-1 Boston. Early in Braves Royals, 0-0 as we head to the bottom of the first, still in a rain delay between the White Sox and the Phillies, and just had first pitch between the Nationals and the Astros. No action there quite yet. All right, Jeff, let's take a look at some props that our guy Michael Cohen has carefully curated for us. Word on the street is we might have our first five in Rate That Prop history. So let's start with Brian Wu. Taking a look at him tonight. Seattle taking on the Athletics. Looking at the strikeout prop for Wu, sitting at 5.5, minus 135, Jeff. Can Brian Wu go over 5.5 Ks?
I can't contain my excitement over this one here, Nick. This is history in the making. It's our first ever five, at least my first ever five. I almost want to do a Ric Flair Wu here, but I won't for the listening audience. But at any rate, the A's over the last 30 days, the highest strikeout rate in baseball, 26.1%. Brian Wu, 6 out of 11 last 7 starts, has made this number. This is about as good as it gets. I mean, the only thing that would be better is if we had 5.5 in Seattle, where strikeouts are even higher. But his last road starts, the only one he didn't make it was the 5K outing against the Yankees where he took a no-hitter into the eighth inning. I mean, Brian Wu is an awesome pitcher. He's a strikeout guy, maybe not a mega strikeout guy, but he's a strikeout guy, and we're getting at a 5.5. Now, only thing I don't like is the juice. We have to pay. It started at minus 135, so that's where we're going to take it for the purposes of Rate the Prop. At DraftKings, it's moved to minus 140. Always a reminder, shop around. You can use RotoWire's player prop tool, and you can see side-by-side various sportsbooks. For instance, right now I'm looking and seeing Brian Wu at minus 132 over at FanDuel, minus 129 to hit that number over at BetRivers. So maybe that's the route you want to go. I think this, I'm excited about this prop. This is my best bet of the day. Later on, I'm going to just a spoiler alert, but I really like this. Way to go, Michael Cohen. You found the best one ever so far.
Wow. I'll have more on this game when we get to our G-Bank best bets to close things out later this afternoon. But wow, a historic day in prop points history. A 5 out of 5 to start things off here on Rate That Prop. All right, Jeff, I'm going to throw another one your way on the pitching side of things. Rate that prop. Jose Soriano, 2+ walks allowed going up against the Texas Rangers at home tonight. This one at minus 105.
Oh, man, it's just wheelhouse day for me here. I mean, Michael's just, you know, he's in the zone. Nothing's missing. 10.8 walk percentage for Jose Soriano, generally speaking. Recently, he's been walking more even lately. You know, 2 walks last 2 times out. 4 outings ago against this very same Texas Rangers team in the same ballpark, he walked 5. I'm getting it over 1.5. Yes, let's go. 4, almost a 5.
All right. All right. I don't know if we've ever had a combined 9, Jeff, on the first two Rate That Props feelings of the day. Yeah, just, let's keep it rolling here. Let's keep it rolling. We're taking a look at Shohei Ohtani. That is Ohtani the pitcher tonight, Jeff. Dodgers in Cincinnati taking on the Reds. Ohtani, over 4.5 strikeouts, plus 125. Rate that prop.
All right. So play the sad trombone because we're going to be down at 2 on this one.
Oh, no.
Womp, womp,
oh,
womp, no. Womp. And it's really just how long he goes into the game. You know, Ohtani hasn't thrown a 4-inning outing yet so far this year. He's gone 3 innings tops. He has not gotten over 4.5 yet this season. They're saying they want him to go a little bit deeper. It might not happen. Tyler Glasnow fell woefully short yesterday on that one. There made me don the jester's motley. They're trying to back all these Tyler Glasnow plays, but the Reds do strike out a decent amount. I could see it. It's not a 1. It's probably closer to the 3 than I'm giving it credit. But I'm not rushing to bet it here, especially when I found favorable alternatives. Find the props that you like and go with them. Don't try to force bets. You don't have to have action on everything.
All right, we'll take a look at some hitting props in just a moment. But folks, this is it. Tomorrow is the last day to grab VSiN's football special for just $175. It's your all-access pass to VSiN Pro across every sport we cover from now through the Super Bowl. The NFL betting guide, that's already available. The college football betting guide hits next week. You can become a VSiN Pro subscriber today, and you'll get a daily email with all the best bets from hosts and their guests. You get real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, plus full access to VSiN.com's analytics, tools, and betting systems. Tomorrow, July 31st, is your last day to get this special price. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. You get everything we just mentioned for just $175. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Play a game of Rate That Prop here on Prop Points. We now move over to some hitting props for tonight's Major League Baseball slate. Jeff, got to get some Cal Raleigh action in here. Rate that prop. Cal Raleigh, 1+ RBI tonight going up against the A's in Sacramento. This is at plus 100.
So with Raleigh and with our next player, let's talk about splits because splits matter a little bit there. I understand starting pitchers don't pitch the entire game, never even close anymore. But as a left-handed starter, Jeffrey Springs on the mound for the Athletics today. Cal Raleigh versus left-handers this year has a 773 slugging percentage, 1148 OPS. You factor in they're on the road. He has a 1031 road OPS, 920 at home. Factor in at Sacramento, a great place to hit. Yesterday notwithstanding, I know the A's and Luis Severino somehow shut down the Mariners yesterday. I don't think that's necessarily repeatable. I really like this one as well. I'm rating it a 4.
Whew, look at this. 2 4s and a 5 so far.
Stay hot, Michael Cohen.
Rate that prop. Yeah, some heat checks coming from Michael Cohen. All right, Jeff, rate that prop. Stephen Kwan, 2+ total bases tonight, plus 105 going up against the Rockies and Kyle Freeland.
Okay, now we're bringing in the cooler. I hinted at this already. Looking at Stephen Kwan, you got to look at the splits. Home, you know, not a big, you know, a big total base guy to begin with there. But versus lefties versus righties, home versus away doesn't really matter so much. But 608 OPS against lefties, 839 against righties. Kyle Freeland allegedly still throws with his left hand. Presumably they have other lefty relievers they can bring in at points if they want to, you know, shut down Kwan, who might be one of their best remaining players. That alone puts me at, you know, it's a skeptical place. Factor in, it could be hug watch for Stephen Kwan. There's been rumors about him being traded. Teams are definitely interested in Stephen Kwan. He could get pulled mid-game. I wouldn't bet on him, period. And I might even look to bet the under, except that it might be no action because of the trade possibilities there. But I don't like the total bases prop here for Stephen Kwan today. Find others.
Give you a quick score update. Red Sox have tacked on a couple of more runs. They're up 4-1 now on the Twins. Just one out, still a runner on second. So Red Sox looking to add more. We're in the top of the fifth there. Freddie Peralta able to limit the damage in that first inning. We're now to the bottom of the first in Milwaukee. Cubs ended up stranding two runners after that Michael Busch leadoff homer. So 1-0 Cubs as we move to the bottom of the first. All right, Jeff, rate that prop. Yandy Diaz to hit a home run tonight at the New York Yankees. Will Warren on the mound. We're getting this one at 4-1. Yandy did homer over the weekend.
He did, and he, you know, that was in Great American Ballpark, a good place to hit. He's been on fire lately. I mean, he's been a guy that's really been helping the Rays. Last 14 days, 955 OPS, but I don't like this specific prop very well. I'm rating it a 2, and here's why. Opposing pitcher Will Warren has only allowed 2 homers by a right-handed hitter all this year. Yandy Diaz has hit most of his homers at home, only 4 on the road. So even though he did hit one in Great American over the weekend against the Reds, I think it's a tougher ask for a right-hander in Yankee Stadium, especially against a right-hander, that one that doesn't allow a whole lot of homers against right-handed hitters. I like the plus 400. That's about the one thing I like about it, but I'm rating this one a 2, unfortunately.
Okay. A somber note to end rate that prop on, Jeff. Yeah. But nonetheless, some fruitful plays in there from our guy, Michael Cohen. You could find all of our bets from each show over at VSiN.com if you are a VSiN Pro subscriber. A couple more score updates for you. Blue Jays have tacked on a run. Miles Straw having himself an afternoon. 3 RBI now for him. Still 5-4 Orioles in the top of the 6th. Blue Jays, of course, looking to avoid the sweep. We got a run on the board in Houston. 1-0 in the bottom of the first. 2 outs, 1 runner on for the Houston Astros. They lead the Nationals 1-0. We'll keep you posted on everything going on around a busy day slate in Major League Baseball as the show rolls along. We got Paul Sporer. You know him from Fangraphs. You know him from the Fantastic Sleeper in the Bus podcast. He'll be joining us on the other side. We'll get some picks from him. We'll get his reaction to the trades we've seen so far, what we should expect to see before the trade deadline tomorrow evening. Paul Sporer joining us next on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you, taking you through a very busy day in Major League Baseball. We got one of our favorite guests joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. He is the great Paul Sporer. You know him from his work, his writing, his podcasting over at Fangraphs and Rotographs. Paul, I know this is a busy day, a busy week for you. Really appreciate you joining us, man. How are you doing?
Great to be on. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing well. Carey Carpenter hit a 2-run homer to open up the Tigers game a little bit. 4-1 now over the D-backs.
Live update.
There we go. An instant score update. Yeah, live update from our guy, Paul Sporer. Paul, you are a noted Detroit Tigers fan. Like you said, Detroit now up 4-1 on Arizona, looking for the 3-game sweep. Not too long ago, this team had lost 12 out of 13. If they do win today, that would now be 4 in a row. So it feels like maybe the train is back on the tracks. But you were just telling us off air, you hope the Tigers will be aggressive prior to tomorrow's deadline, and you think they will be aggressive. So who's on the wish list?
So obviously I want bullpen. You know, this is a depth move that they did with the Paddock Dobnik move. At least I thought it was originally. And then I even had some dreams on Paddock becoming like a lights out reliever, because he does still have nasty stuff in spurts. And I do think that there could be a second act in the bullpen for him, whether that's in Detroit or elsewhere. But we learned immediately after that trade that Reese Olson was hurt. So in fact, it was not a depth move. It was a move out of need. And then Randy Dobnik is more of the depth piece there. This bullpen needs some help. They just went through a big wall. It was their first battle all of the season. As a fan of a particular age now, I know not to freak out over that. And even as bad as it got, I'm like, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And I truly did believe that. I think the offense is going to rebound as they have. I think the starters are mostly fine, obviously, if they're healthy. But the bullpen was exposed. I never, even when the Tigers were playing their best ball, best team in baseball, holy crap, I was loving it. But I never bought into the bullpen as like an October bullpen. They don't strike anybody out. You cannot have that much contact during the playoffs, especially, right? You're trying to limit contact as much as you can. Unfortunately, it basically becomes kind of a three true outcomes game, but you got to play the game that it is. And that's what it is in October. If they don't get swing and miss relievers, I would fade them completely as true October contenders, unless somebody develops. And maybe they have a plan of like Troy Melton is going to start until August 15th and then transition to the bullpen and be a flamethrower for them. Maybe they have some plans, but if they don't get anybody that can miss a bunch of bats tomorrow, I'm going to be pretty upset as a Tigers fan.
Talking with our good friend Paul Spohr from Fangraphs. William Contreras just homered for the Brewers. Now 1-1 bottom of the first. Great pitching matchup with this one. Freddie Peralta versus Shota Imanaga. I want to talk about these two teams real quick here, Paul. In the case of the Cubs, it's been rumored for a long time that they're going to be in it for the pitching market. Nothing has happened yet. Seth Lugo is off the table. That was one that was rumored to be a target. If I want to believe in the Cubs making any damage in October, I think I need to see at least one more reliever, preferably another starter, though that might be hard to find given this market. What do you see happening here with both of these teams?
I mean, I got to feel like a little bit, you know, Tigers parallels here with the Cubs fans, only in that, like, been excellent this year, but very clearly not yet a complete October team. And it goes back to the bullpen and the inability to consistently miss bats. From a K-9 perspective, the Tigers are 28th in the bullpen. Cubs are 30th. So I see a lot of parallels here. They're probably fighting for the same guys, which is frustrating as a Tigers fan, but I understand it. So they're probably out calling the same teams, looking for the same relievers there. And then I also agree that they need another starter here, right? Because first off, Shota, the results have been good, but they're living on a wire a little bit to me. When you look at the strikeout tumble to 18% and the 1-6 homer is still working. The homers have scared me off of him from the jump. Now, I was wrong last year. He put up a 2.91 ERA, 102 whip, and he's at 3.12, 104 this year. So I'm wrong again. I'm willing to admit that on Shota. The check will come due, though. And, you know, I'm not going to tout my chest if it's 5 years down the road and he just happens to escape these home run issues. But it's really hard to be successful with a 1-6 homer nine. And going back to what I said about three true outcomes in the playoffs, Shota's current profile with 18% K rate and 1-6 homer nine would get him destroyed in the playoffs. So they need two arms as well, starter and reliever in Chicago for sure. The bats look excellent.
Talking with Paul Spohr, our friend from Fangraphs and Rotographs. You can check him out on Twitter at Spohr, S-P-O-R-E-R. Joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Paul, want to talk a little bit about the Atlanta Braves. You know, we mentioned the Ronald Acuna news. He's heading to the IL. Sounds like it could be an extended absence, dealing with some discomfort in that Achilles. I think at this point, we can pretty comfortably say that the Atlanta Braves will not be competing for a World Series. But, you know, they brought in Carlos Carrasco yesterday. They traded for Eric Fetty. You know, maybe you just need some arms in that rotation at this point. But what should the Braves' approach be prior to the deadline? Could you see them selling off any pieces?
Yeah, I think they need to. You know, the word I've been using a bit is it'd be malpractice if Raisel Iglesias and Marcelo Ozuna are still on that team. Why in God's name would you? Like, this is a lost season. Sometimes it is just the injuries. I know we always say, no excuses. Every team gets injuries. Very true. Very true. And teams are very good about saying that, you know, publicly. They don't blame it on that. And I respect that. But sometimes you can step back and look at it and say, okay, there's just too many injuries, right? Like, Houston is on the border. They've been able to stay successful despite their never-ending stream of injuries, but I wonder if that check's going to come due for them because things are getting very thin there. And it just caught up to Atlanta. And then, of course, they end up having to put Acuna on the shelf here too. So they're packing it in. You trade Ozuna, even if you love him, because I've heard he's a big clubhouse guy, and I know he's had his off-field issues that he should be held accountable for, especially if there's any sort of relapse there in terms of that off-the-field behavior with the domestic violence stuff. But from all accounts, if he has moved forward and been like a rallying point in the clubhouse as somebody that does get along. Okay, if you like him that much, trade him and do the Jack Flaherty thing. Trade Ozuna and then bring him back next year. Get even like a C-plus, C-minus prospect would make sense. And then their entire bullpen outside of Deisbel Hernandez and Dylan Dodd is 30 and over. I don't see how you have more than three of those guys. I mean, you got to have some arms to get to the finish line. I understand that. But they should be trading Iglesias, Pierce Johnson, Tyler Kinley, Dylan Lee. I mean, I think they just got Tyler Kinley. Maybe they got him to trade him. But they should be moving their entire bullpen and Marcell Ozuna. And I think they should at least consider moving Sean Murphy. Now, he's still a stud, and having two great catchers is not bad. They can have DH. They can have Baldwin DH. But you could do a move here where you really set yourself up for next year, because they're not going to tear down by any stretch. They're going to retool for next year. They could trade the big catcher here with Murphy for a pretty nice return and then turn the reins over to Baldwin fully next year and then get a backup. That's more of a pipe dream, but I think Ozuna and the bullpen got to move in Atlanta.
Paul, let's talk Houston Astros. We've got they're tied 1-1 with the Nats today, but that less about that and more about the news that's come out. Yordan Alvarez, we actually have a timetable now. They're talking mid-August. Yay. Finally getting him back for 6 weeks maybe. But the bad news, Isak Paredes could need surgery and could be out for the year for that hamstring injury. I got pushes on my phone today saying that they're interested in trading back for Carlos Correa, add him back to the band. How interested are you in Carlos Correa going to them? What do you see the Astros doing?
Well, I'm not one of those that like aggressively hates the Astros. I wouldn't say I like them. I loved watching my Tigers beat them last year and topple the Giant, but I don't have like this great disdain for them. I follow them being in Texas here. So I think it'd be kind of neat to see Correa go back and see what he can do there. And if he can recapture some of his power, right? Health has been super elusive for him, and that remains so this year, but he doesn't need to be healthy that long. Can he give them 2.5-3 months of action here, refine the Crawford boxes, and tap back into his power? He's a league average player right now, Correa is, with a 97 WRC plus and 1.1 WAR. If you can dial it up just a little bit with the Astros, it's a net positive, especially with the Pena injury. Their injuries, like I said, are really, really becoming a huge problem. They don't have a lot of farm system to trade off either. So I think they have to kind of add on the margins in something like a Correa move. He's not a marginal player, but he's also not somebody that's going to cost a ton of prospects. So yeah, I think it's interesting. I think they do need to add because they are still in a competitive window, but who knows if they're going to get any of these big pieces back down the stretch to kind of fortify any trades that they do make.
Paul, awesome stuff, man. Really appreciate you giving us some of your time today. Let everybody know where they can find your trade deadline coverage.
You can find it on Fangraphs, fangraphs.com or fantasy.fangraphs.com. Jeff Zimmerman's covering the NL trades. I'm covering the AL. Kind of as they happen, we'll be updating the two posts that are on Fangraphs right now.
There we have it. Great stuff, as always, from our guy, Paul Sporer. Folks, VSiN and Winner Circle Proxy are giving away two grand prize packages for the Circa Million 7 event. Each includes a fully paid entry, full season proxy service from the team at Winner Circle Proxy, and an exclusive behind-the-scenes tour of our VSiN studios in Vegas. It's free to enter. Just go to winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN and fill out the short form before August 17th. Don't miss your shot to play for $6 million in guaranteed prizes this season. Just head on over to winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN. We got runs on the board in this day-heavy MLB slate. Score updates, best bets coming your way next.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSiN. Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson finishing out the show with some more plays for tonight's Major League Baseball slate. We'll have our G-Bank best bets of the night coming your way in a matter of minutes. And make sure you stick around right after us, Make It Rain with Adam Schein, coming up at 3 p.m. Eastern. He's going to have Steve Phillips, former GM, MLB analyst, on the show talking Mets, talking trade deadline. So make sure you don't miss that. Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard. That's coming up at 4 p.m. VSiN Primetime starts up at 7. Scott Seidenberg in the chair for that one tonight. Jeff, plenty of action ongoing right now. We're into the bottom of the second in Milwaukee. William Contreras hit a solo home run to even that one up at one. Andrew Vaughn got on base, nearly missed a home run, just went left of the foul pole out in left field. He's been on an incredible run since joining the Milwaukee Brewers. And we've been talking about that Jays-O's series throughout the show. Blue Jays have now taken the lead in the top of the seventh, 6-5 in favor of Toronto. Tigers up 5-1 on the Diamondbacks. Red Sox starting to blow out the Minnesota Twins. 8-1 our score in Minneapolis in the top of the sixth. Still 0-0 between the Braves and the Royals. Still in a rain delay between the Phillies and the White Sox. 1-1 in the bottom of the second between the Nats and the Astros. Jeff, I know you've been monitoring this Brewers Cubs series closely. I've been monitoring it very, very closely. Brewers going for the three-game sweep this afternoon. And I want to dig a little bit deeper on Andrew Vaughn. And, you know, we can look at this from a betting perspective, from a fantasy perspective. You know, I was watching MLB Network late last night, and I think it was Harold Reynolds who brought up a great comparison. And I want you to give me a little more context on this, because I don't remember most of this guy's career. He said Matt Williams is the guy that Andrew Vaughn reminds him of, as far as a big time prospect, struggled early, finally figured it out, and then went on, of course, to have a great career.
The struggle wasn't that long for Williams, as it has been for Vaughn. And Williams at least was able to find himself with his drafting organization. So a little bit different there. A visual facial resemblance a little bit there.
Yeah, maybe that's
Williams. If you remember, listeners might remember. You wouldn't remember, Nick, because I know you weren't old enough to remember this. But the strike year, he was on pace for a massive home run season. We got robbed of a potential chase at Maris. It was that good of a season for Matt Williams. So Vaughn, that's the expectation we had with Vaughn when he got drafted out of Cal, that he was the best college hitter in that draft. It was a weird year. It was the COVID year. So keep that in mind, that it was kind of weird in terms of his development. I should say it was the year before the COVID year. His first professional season was the COVID year. Didn't get a whole lot of time to be able to play. Remember, he had alternate training camps, didn't have many minor league games that year. I think that messed with him in his development. Mm-hmm. And then they moved him to the outfield as opposed to first base. You know, the White Sox did White Sox things. That's the reason why they're a bad organization, or at least why they were a bad organization. I think they're turning things around a little bit. It'll take some time, but it's an interesting comp for sure. Second life here with the Brewers for sure. It's such a Brewers thing to be able to swoop in and get him essentially off the scrap heap, though.
Yeah, it shaped up to be, I think, a quiet deadline for Milwaukee, kind of feeling like Andrew Vaughn is going to end up being their big addition. We are now into the top of the third out at Miller Park. Brewers, by the way, have overtaken the Cubs over at DraftKings to win the NL Central. Now minus 130. Cubs were favored heading into last night. Those teams will play a massive five-game series in a few weeks out at Wrigley, including a makeup game from June. So still plenty to be settled in the NL Central. Jeff, let's take a look at some games coming up later tonight. The Pirates are at the Giants. Mike Burrow's taking on Logan Webb. You got a money line play here.
Yeah, so Giants are a big favorite here, minus 207, Pittsburgh plus 168. It's a day game here, so maybe the ball flies a little bit more. The total is still only at 7, though. I find that really interesting that it's that low. Given how Logan Webb has been pitching lately, and how the Giants have been playing lately, they're circling down the drain. They've lost 5 in a row now. They've had a terrible attrition rate with their starters. They're top. I mean, they still have their big three, but after that, and I'm including Justin Verlander as a big three right now. He have one win, but they've lost 8 of the last 10. The Pirates have been pesky lately. They've won 4 in a row. Logan Webb, 16 earned runs allowed in his last 3 starts, only 11 Ks. Those were tough matchups against the Dodgers, the Blue Jays, who never strike out, and the Mets. The good news for Webb is Pittsburgh still can't hit. Even though they've won 4 in a row, last 30 days, 264 WOBA, 64 WRC+. That's a bad lineup there. I'm tempted to go the under even with such a low total because Burrows is actually pitching really well, 6 scoreless against the Diamondbacks last time out. But I'm just going to go with the value in the money line here. I think when you get plus 168 against the teams that's really struggling like this, I understand the golf and the starting pitchers in terms of reputation. I just don't know if Webb's going to get it done today. So I'll take those positive odds and get a chance there, a nice little payout at plus 168.
Let's take a look at the Mets and the Padres. Mets had won 7 in a row coming into this series. Padres have taken the first 2 games, Clay Holmes versus Yu Darvish tonight. Another money line spot for you, Jeff.
Yep, and I think we got the lead's got to be Juan Soto here. Got a bruised foot yesterday. He's not in the lineup today. It has been a nightmare series for the Mets after such a positive start to the road trip. You turn around there, and they lose in a back and forth game on Monday night, blown leads left and right, get shut down last night, against a middling starter at that. So it's been tough. The good news for the Mets, though, is they're facing Yu Darvish, and Yu Darvish has failed to launch since coming off the IL. 918 ERA, 180 WHIP, gave up 8 earned runs against the Cardinals last time out. He's back at home. That's a little bit better. Clay Holmes has been solid enough for the Mets. I think the Mets have enough talent to overcome Soto not being in the lineup for one day. Going against Darvish, I like that matchup there. I'll take the plus 100 money line for the Mets.
Got an ALE series ongoing in the Bronx. Rays at the Yankees tonight. Zach Littell taking on Will Warren. Now you got a few plays for this one, Jeff, including an ultra-rare Dinger Wednesday prop.
Yeah, it's an obligatory Dinger against Zach Littell prop. Zach Littell has allowed a whopping 26 homers this year. He's been good despite that. That's the funny thing. So that's why I'm not really on the game total. I'm not on the side, but you know, Littell's allowed 26 homers, 18 of those homers on the road. Think about that, because they play in Steinbrenner Field at home. You think, oh yeah, he's given up a bunch of homers at home. No, not really. 18 of the 26 on the road. Lefty-righty split doesn't matter as much. So I'm going Dinger Wednesday here. Cody Bellinger homered yesterday. He's plus 350. I like that short porch in Yankee Stadium. I think he goes back-to-back days with homers. Plus 350, I like that. On the other side, Will Warren is a walk machine. 10.8% walk percentage. I like the alt walk line at over 2.5. The original over-under at DraftKings is 1.5, but it's been bet so much, it's prohibitive to bet the over. It's like minus 180, I think I last saw. I have to check me on that one there. But I like the alt line, over 2.5 walks. So you have 3 walks in this game at plus 155. Tampa Bay is a top 10 walking team in terms of walk percentage in the last 30 days. So I think they draw those 3 walks against Warren. We'll go with that one there at plus 155.
Blue Jays have opened things up in the top of the 7th against the Baltimore Orioles. Bo Bichette with a 2 RBI single, and Nathan Lukes just hit a home run to make this 9-5 in favor of Toronto, trying to avenge those first 3 losses in this series. Again, in the top of the 7th now with 2 outs. It's time for our GBank Best Bets of the Night. They're brought to you by GBank, and introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at first bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. If you do that, you'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature card. First bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN completes the trifecta with a free 6-month VSiN Pro subscription. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promo is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. All right, Jeff, your GBank best bet of the night. Anything else you want to give out on today's show?
Quickly give out Reds under 3.5 in the team total against Shohei Ohtani and Emmett Sheehan at plus 110. That game tonight against the Dodgers. But also, we have broken the 5 seal and rate that prop. How can that not be my best bet? Brian Wu, yes, over 5.5 Ks, minus 135 originally, and chop around for the best payout there on that. But over 5.5 Ks going up against the Athletics.
All right, I got a derivative of that one, Jeff. Brian Wu and Jeffrey Springs to combine for at least 11 strikeouts tonight. This one at minus 115. These are 2 of the biggest strikeout teams in baseball, 2nd and 4th in strikeout rate over the last month, respectively. Number 1 and number 2 since the All-Star break. Angels averaging about 10 strikeouts per game. Mariners right in that zone as well. And if you're looking for a little bonus in the same vein, Lawrence Butler to strike out 2+ times tonight, plus 150. He's done that in 6 of his last 10, 19 strikeouts in 39 at-bats since the All-Star break. That's going to do it for the Wednesday edition of Prop Points. We'll be back at you tomorrow afternoon. Keep it here on VSiN. Make it rain with Adam Schein coming up next. We'll